What's up? All right. Hey, so we're starting a new series today, as you may have seen, called Hashtag Winning, right? Because, you know, the hashtag thing is trendy and everybody's like, oh, you know, the funny thing to me, this is the funny thing to me, is everybody that puts hashtag on Facebook, I'm like, don't, just stop. So anyway, hashtags are very, you know, trendy right now. So we're like, what the heck? Let's go with it. And so what we're doing is we're doing hashtag winning. And what we're going to talk about is just what it means for us and for you specifically to live a life that's winning. And it's all going to be kind of, you know, based off of this verse that we probably have heard if you've been in church at all in your life. It's John chapter 10, verse 10. Jesus said, I came to give you real abundant life. One version says it like this. And this is, how many of you guys have ever read the Message? The Message version, it's very interesting the way it words it. But this is what it says in John 10:10, that's the Chinese Bible. John 10:10, in the Message version, that's hilarious. You're going to get that later. It says, I came so that they can have real and eternal life. And this last part is so good. More and better life than they ever dreamed of. Like Jesus said, that's why I came. There's other versions that said he came to give us an abundant life, and other versions that say he came to give us a real life. But I like this one because it says he came to give us a more and better life than we ever dreamed of. And what happens, what we do is we tend to start to go with the flow. We tend to start kind of to succumb to our surroundings and the people that we do life with. And if the people that you do life with aren't the people that aspired to be or wanted to be or dreamed to be, then you start to lose sight of what it means for you to be winning in life. And so what we're going to do is just talk about that and talk about how you are called to be you. Like we say this funny little thing around here, you are the only you, and only you can do what you can do. So you better do what God has called you to do, because that's just it. Like, you're the only one. Like, there's no carbon copy cloning of you. You're the only one, and you're the only one that has the personality that you have and the gifts that you have and the talents that you have. And if you don't do what it is that you were called and created to do, then you're neglecting the world of you. And so I think that's good. I get kind of excited about this stuff. So if you guys are new, just go with it. I usually spray the front row only so everybody else is safe. And so I want to clarify, just to make sure we're all on the same page. I don't think this is not the prosperity gospel thing where it's like Jesus came so that we can drive Benzes and Maseratis and bankroll. Like, that's not what it's about. It is about, like, a different version of a winning life. Like, God's version of a winning life and the world's version of a winning life are typically two different things. And so just don't think that if we all leave here and we all believe that we're going to live a winning life, that, like, large checks are going to start hitting our mailbox. It doesn't happen like that. I mean, if they do, all right. But I just don't think it's going down like that. I don't know why else Jesus would say, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? And so you see, the more that we have, a lot of times it just pulls us away from God, and that's not what God wants. Like, winning and being content and living a real full life usually has very little to do with money. It has to do with people, the people that we get to do life with, the internal components that you can't put a price tag on, like joy and hope and happiness and contentment and all of those things. And so that's just an FYI, doesn't cost you a cent, all right? Unless you want to. Anyway, so in order to live a winning life, what we're going to talk about today is being, for you, to be the best you. Like, and what we do is we get caught kind of in these comparison traps. We compare ourselves to other people. And man, I think we're all probably guilty of this, and we'll talk about it more at length in a minute. But what we have to do is just focus specifically on who it is that you were created to be the best you. I heard a quote one time that really sums this up. It says, you don't have to be the best. You have to be your best. Isn't that good? Because what we want to do is, I don't know about you, but I'm semi-competitive, just ever so slightly. Like, and if I win at cornhole before motion, I'll start running around the parking lot. True story, happened 30 minutes ago. So a lot of times we want to be, like, we don't want to just be, like, our best. We want to be better than every single person at whatever it is that we're doing. And that's just not it. Like, because here's the deal. You're probably not going to be. Like, you're probably not going to be the absolute best at something, but you can be your best. And sometimes if we just get that in our heads, it's good. Like, here's the deal. As much as I may like basketball, I'll never be better than LeBron. There's a, you know, 9-inch difference and 30 inches on the vertical. And I mean, I can jump a good 10 inches on a good day. He's got 40. No big deal. I mean, as much as I love football and I want to, you know, I love Peyton Manning, and he's just the man child. It's so funny. My son, yesterday, by the way, started football season for us. Not only was the weather incredible, but then we got to play football, and I was like, I was in tears, so happy. And we beat the brakes off of some other little kids. And listen, I just want y'all to know, let's talk about winning. I want to talk about winning. We don't believe, this is not the culture that we have where everybody gets a trophy. No, you get a trophy if you win, okay? And so our kids, they work hard. Like our football team, we work hard. We practice. These kids are like from 4 to, you know, all the way through 6th grade. And so we've got kids out here Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, sometimes Saturday, like they practice and they put in the work, and man, we run the dog out of them. Like our kids may not win football games. They're going to be in good shape. So anyway, they work really hard. So I reward them. Like if we're winning, we don't quit. We just keep scoring. Listen, you may think it's rude. I don't think it's rude. If you want your kids to do good, then take them to practice. If you want your kids to not get their butts beat by our kids, then work with them a little bit. That's just me. Okay, so not everybody gets a trophy in our world. How do we get on that? Hashtag winning. Anyway, you don't have to be the best. You just have to be your best. And so, like I said, we all have a tendency to compare ourselves to other people, especially people that are doing something that maybe we're doing, or somebody that's in the same line of work, or somebody that's got kids that are the same age. Like, we're like, oh, man, their kids are so much better than my kids. Because all we see is, like, our kids, and, you know, we know the bad that they do, and you see on Facebook and Instagram how awesome their kids are. They're not that awesome, but we don't see that. So we compare ourselves to the best version of them. And if people, I do this, like, this is so stupid. Like, think about how stupid this is. I compare myself in our church to other pastors in other churches. And it's like, you almost make it a competition. It's not, and you know it, but you almost make it a competition. Like, we're competing. Churches are competing against other churches. Like, how stupid is that, right? And so I know that if I do it, then you probably do it in whatever, you know, line of work that you're in or career or whatever. Like, we all want to be the best, and we just got to get that out of our head. We just have to be our best. And if we do that, then we're living a hashtag winning life. I'm going to drop the hashtag from now on, just say winning, okay? That's good, because it's going to get old. And so when we get caught in these comparison traps, we just fail to reach our own potential. We fail to become the best version of us, the best you. And so in order to really understand this, I think we need to start in the beginning. I was trying to do my Morgan Freeman. Didn't really work. So in the beginning, there's this verse that you guys have probably heard. I'm sure every one of us have heard it at some point, or at least a variation of it. In Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, it says this. And God was talking specifically to Jeremiah, but I think there's a message in here for all of us. And it says in Jeremiah 1:5, it says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I set you apart." And again, God is specifically talking to Jeremiah, but you couldn't convince me that message isn't the same for us. Before you were born, God knew you. And I love the way that it's not just like, God knew about you. It's like God knew you. He knew everything that he would create you with, and every tool that he would give you to influence the world that he's going to put you in, and every passion that you're ever going to have. Like, God knows that. And then it says that before you were born, I set you apart. Like, being set apart is a calling. It's this thing that you're supposed to do with your life. It's an extraction from mundane and normality to do something greater than you would ever do on your own. Like, I love this idea. I heard of a quote one time, and it was specifically about the church, but I think it applies to us too. Like, sometimes we have these great plans for our lives, but just remember that God's plan for your life is always bigger and always better than your plan for your life. And so it says that he knows us, and before we were born, we were set apart. We were given a purpose, and he has a plan for us, something for us to accomplish. And so that's where we need to start, is in the beginning. And like I said, I know that was made to a specific person, but you couldn't convince me that it's not for all of us. It's a story that was outlined for us. They're doing construction next door, apparently. It's good. Who works on Sunday? How many of you guys, when you were in school, you were given an assignment, you had to write, you know, maybe a paper, an essay, or something like that, and you had to write an outline and turn that into the teacher before you actually wrote the story? That used to drive me nuts. I'm like, let me just write the freaking story, and then I'll give it to you, and you can read it, and you tell me what you think. But they make you write an outline, and I think that's kind of what our lives are. Like, God has given us an outline, And we, our responsibility is to fill in the narrative with the way that we live our lives and our obedience and doing what it is that he's given us to do. And so it's a story that was outlined for us. It's like, here you are. Here are your passions. Here are your purposes. Here's the plan that I have for you. Now fill in the story. And I think if we think about it like that, it just helps us to understand, man, we really can win in life. And that's one of the first and most necessary steps into winning and realizing just that, man, if you've got breath in your lungs, like there's something for you to do. Like you are not just a waste of mass and space. Like you have purpose and you have value. And I think so many times we just get kind of convinced in our own little ways that, man, I don't really matter that much. We feel like a small fish in a big pond, right? And it's just not true. If you're here, there's a reason for you being here. If you have breath, everybody go, it's like a Lamaze class, right? What do I know about that? Anyway, if you've got breath in your lungs, like there's a reason for you being here. And so just realizing and recognizing that, then we can get on to the business of winning. And so, again, just a reminder, like God's version of winning and the world's version of winning are two different things. It doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to have a ginormous bank account and rock the Maserati. Although if you get a Maserati, you better let me drive. I'm just saying. But rather, it's about living a life that makes a difference in the sphere that you were placed in. And money rarely does that. Did you notice that I'm just convinced that people who have less money actually make a greater impact than people who have a ton of money? Because people who have a ton of money are usually self-absorbed and self-consumed, and they spend all of their money on themselves. But people who are selfless and serve other people have a greater impact, and their legend is much greater. Anyway, my opinion. And so our priority in life should just to become the full version of who God intended us to be. He's given us gifts to own. He's given us personalities to develop. He's given us talents that we need to. This is so good. I love that this whole theme or this whole series is, it's not specifically sports themed, but it's going to have some sports elements. I almost cried the other day. I was so happy. We had a meeting about our birthday party is coming up on September 28th, like the 3-year. We've been here for almost 3 years, and September 28th, we're going to celebrate in Shindig. And it was the girls, like all of the girls' idea to make it football themed. And I was like, I'm so happy. I love you guys. Anyway. And so, where was I going with that? Anybody? Okay, so, yeah, it's just, we've got, oh, the sports theme. Oh, that's it. This is good. Kevin Durant, basketball player. You guys probably know who he is. God has given us talents. But if we don't use those talents and develop those talents, then it's not really going to do you any good. Kevin Durant said this. He says, hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. Ooh! I'm going to say it one more time. Hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. You've got talents, and it's your responsibility to develop those talents and make those talents everything that they can be, and that's part of living the winning life. That was good. So the second thing is this. I'll give you a moment to soak that in. I know it's a lot. It's really good. The second one is this. Comparing is losing. We're talking about winning. We want to live a winning life, and comparing is not a winning life. Comparing is losing. And you can throw the hashtag in if you want. It's just for fun. Comparing is losing. One of the greatest adversaries to living a winning life is comparing ourselves to other people. Nothing, in my opinion, and I'm probably right, hashtag winning, nothing will derail you from your purpose and your plan as fast as getting your eyes off what it is that you're supposed to do and on to what it is that other people are doing. Like nothing. Like, and here's the deal. There's no value in it. There is zero value in comparing yourself to other people. And that doesn't mean that you can't be inspired by other people, but comparing yourself to other people, there's zero value in it. And it's this comparison trap is fueled, like we said before, but we live in the social media age, right? Like everybody puts their best foot forward on Facebook. Well, some of them do. Some people. We need a stupid filter on Facebook, you know, because people put some stupid stuff. And I'm like, I thought you were supposed to put your best foot forward. You just let everybody know that your mama and you whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like some people's kids. And so, anyway, most people, what they do is they put their best foot forward on social media. They're like, look at my awesome family, and look at what we're doing, and look at what we're eating, and look how awesome and balling we are, right? And so that's kind of, we see their highlights. We don't see the fullness of their life. We don't see their struggles, and we don't see the problems that they have, kind of going back to sports. How many of you guys like ESPN? Da-da-da, da-da-da. That means you made the top 10. That means you made a spectacular play. And so what happens, you could say you're a baseball player. How many of you guys like baseball? Okay. So if you like baseball, what happens is you play 9 innings, you bat maybe 4 or 5 times, and in all of that, you could have stunk. But if you made one spectacular play, you're on ESPN for the whole world to see, and everybody thinks you're awesome. And so that's kind of the world that we live in. We live in a highlight reel world where we only see the good. We don't see the struggles that they had. And you don't see the, well, you, sometimes you see that on Friday, they have the not top 10, and it's like the bonehead plays of the week. And so you don't want to end up on that list. But the point is just simply that we compare ourselves to other people's best when we know our struggles and we know our issues and we know the areas where we're faltering or we could be better. And it's just not fair. Like, you can't do that to yourself, because if we're just honest, you know they've got problems. You know they've got and they may put on a great front, but deep down, you know that they're just like you. They're human. They've got issues and things that they got to work to. And so comparing ourselves, it affects us negatively in two ways: limitations and expectations. Somebody say, mm-hmm. Our soul meter went from like a 2 to a 7. It was good. We're getting there. I don't give 10s, but we're getting up. So it affects us in two ways, like comparing ourselves. It puts limitations on who it is that we're supposed to be. Because if you're comparing yourself to somebody else, maybe they're not even as good, or maybe they're not even doing something as good as you could do it, or maybe not doing it the way that you could do it, or something to that effect. It puts limitations on who it is that we're trying to become and who it is that God wants us to become. And then the other part is it puts these false expectations on us, like we talked about. I had a conversation this week with somebody that felt like, man, I'm just not very good. I'm not a very awesome person. I don't know how God could love me, because she looks at all the people, gender neutral. They look at all the people around them, and they're like, everybody else is so awesome, and nobody else struggles. And I'm like, you're blind. Like, you're so consumed with their achievements and the good things that they're doing, you don't realize they've got struggles. You don't know the issues that they've got. You don't know the problems that they face. And you're just comparing yourself with the best version of them, and it derails you from becoming the best version of you. Mm. So that's just that. Listen, since we're talking about sports, this series just makes me happier and happier every day, every minute, every second even. I heard a quote this week from, how many of you guys know who J.J. Watt is? J.J. Swatt. He's a monster, massive dude, plays for the Houston Texans. He's a defensive end. And he was criticized by some of his friends or contemporaries, and people are like, man, you won't come hang out with us. You won't go, you know, chill with us. And you won't, you know, you won't just be a regular guy with us. You just, you know, think you're a superstar. And his response to that was so good. This is what he said. He said, I have a limited amount of time to build a career out of football and be the best that I can be at this job. When this job is over, I have the rest of my life to do what I want with my time. Right now, my job is to watch film, work out, and treat my body right. When I get done with football, then I can relax and hang out and be a regular guy. Right now, I'm a football player, and I will sacrifice whatever is necessary to be the best. Isn't that good? He's like, here's the deal. You may not be approving of my decisions to not go do the stupid things that you're doing, but I know who I am, and I know the opportunity that lies in front of me, and I know what it is that I want to do with my life. He's so focused on what it is that he wants to do that he's not concerned about other people, and he doesn't compare the free time and the leisure that other people has to the life that he's living that's busy and hectic and grueling and difficult at times, because he knows what he is, what he's supposed to do. And he's like, and I will sacrifice whatever it takes to be the best. And I thought, man, that's really good. And so for us, the parallel should be obvious. Like, whatever it takes for you to be the best you, then that's what you need to do. Don't compare yourselves to other people, because that just derails you. There's this idea or this kind of story that Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. And he's like, when you're doing life, it's almost like a race. When you're following Jesus, it's kind of like a race. And he's like, this is what you need to do. You need to run this race like this. He says, do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Back to our idea that not everybody gets a trophy. It's biblical. Boom. Read it. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run? All the little kids run around and play, but only one gets the prize. You ain't about that hog game. Okay. I get carried away sometimes. And this is what he says. Only one gets the prize. Run in such a way as to get the prize. Like, that needs to be the way that you live your life. Like, do what you've got to do to run your race. Run your race in your lane. Like, this is what's so fascinating. When you think about how many of you guys ran track in high school or junior high? Track stung, man. Nobody wants to run track. That's just awful, except for Mikey and Daniel. And that's it. Okay. So when you're running, I don't run track, but I know enough about track to know this. When you're running track, everybody has a lane, right? And what's really interesting is you can't get out of your lane or you get disqualified. And what's really hard, it's hard to stay in your lane if you're like looking over at the people next to you or in front of you or behind you. If you're focused on somebody else, you're going to get out of your lane and you're going to get disqualified. See what had happened? So what you've got to do is you've got a race to run, and you've got a lane that you are supposed to be in. Run your race in your lane. Like, don't ever look at other people. This is where the inspiration and comparison can come into play. Like, maybe you've got just a little bit further to go, and they're just slightly ahead of you. This is embarrassing. I ran a 5K one time. This really is embarrassing. And at probably the last, I don't know, maybe 100 meters, I was getting smoked by a dude that was like 80. And I was like, ain't no way. Ain't no way. And I'm in his defense, he was a boss. Like, he ran like a 23-minute 5K, and he was old. And so the last 100 meters, I saw him, and I'm like, I will die trying. And I took off running, and I just barely beat him at the finish line. And I'm like, yeah. No, I didn't do that. I didn't, because he probably would have beat me up. That's a bad dude. And so I used that for inspiration, but I didn't ever compare. Well, I do kind of compare myself. It's embarrassing that guy's that good, and I'm not, right? I'm just kidding. So you can use it for inspiration, just that little extra push that you need, but don't focus so much on that you don't run your race. And so comparing is losing. That's the second one. The last one is this. Winning, or hashtag winning for all of you Trinity people, winning is change. Like, and man, we know this. None of this is, wow, that's amazing. Where did you come up with this stuff, right? We all know this stuff, but it's just good to be reminded of this and just kind of thinking about how it applies to us, where we're at right now in our lives. But winning is change. If you want to win in life, you have to be willing to change. If you're not changing, you're dead, right? Every day we change. We change the way that we think. We change the way that we feel. We change the way that we do things. I mean, just change is a huge part of our life, and refusal to accept that and embrace that change is losing, but winning is change. You have to regularly grow to be challenged and convicted to be more than you currently are. And if you do that, you win. Refusal to do that leads to mediocrity, and mediocrity is lame, right? How many of you guys have ever been to, or maybe you've seen a football game or something where one team is just beating the mess out of another team, and then they get to halftime, and they come out, and it's a completely different game? Have you ever seen a situation like that? And what happens, this is what had happened was, is that during halftime, the coach that was getting his tail beat in, he made adjustments. Changes were made. And then they go back out, and they do a completely different job. They do a better job because of the changes that were made. Coaches get paid $1 squillion to go in and make. I mean, because here's the deal. Look at in the NFL, there's not much talent disparity between the teams. Like, they usually all have incredible athletes. A lot of it really is just coaching. So the coaches go in and they say, hey, they're beating us here. Let's make some changes. We go back out and it's a lot better in the second half. So willingness to change usually leads to success in situations such as that. They just put their players in the right position to win, because I like to win. All he does is win. Do you guys ever see that? All he does is win. We're going to redo that. All right, anyway. And this is one of the things that we can't do when it comes to change. You can't settle for lame excuses. Like, man, this one is so frustrating. It's so frustrating when people, when they're not willing to do difficult things because of, like, some excuse they have for themselves. Like, I don't know, it's just so hard for me. Like, my son, he's 8, and he's already kind of shown tendencies to not want to try to do hard things. And so I just wear him out. I'm like, you gonna do it. You know, go jump off the building with an umbrella. It's good, safe. I'm just kidding. Absolutely kidding. And so, like, he likes, and let me give you an example. Playing video games. Like, you have settings on video games, like easy, medium, hard. Like, he'll play Mario Baseball and put it on easy and win 40-0. Like, he would prefer to beat the mess out of somebody than have a challenge And so, you know, I made him put it on hard one time, and he won like 3-0. He still won. He won 3-0, but he didn't like it because it was too hard. And so sometimes we put excuses on we have excuses for ourselves, like, oh, it's too difficult, or I can never do that, or I can't be that, or, you know, whatever your excuse is, like, just stop. Stop making excuses for yourself. Embrace change, because change is winning. Like, doing these excuse things, all it really does, let's just think about this for a minute. Like, having excuses for ourselves and saying things like, I just can't do that, or, you know, I'm not that good, or whatever, to me, all that really does, it just nullifies the cross and the Christ that died on it. I mean, really, if we think about it, like Jesus saying, he said that I came to give you this real, full, and abundant life. And then you're on the other side saying, oh, I just can't do that. And I think there's kind of a gap between who it is that we are and who it is that we're supposed to be. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says it like this. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. And so, like, when we hold on to, like, these old ideas of ourselves, or these views of ourselves that we can't do certain things and we can't become certain things, then we're really just nullifying who it is that God wants us to be. And that's just not winning. That's not what you want to do with your life, right? We want to win. And to win, we have to be willing to change. And so I know these are some really big ideas. I know these are some really, you know, kind of grandiose gestures. But I think that when we start talking about these things, there are a lot of things that maybe you start thinking about. So I want to kind of talk specifically about how this could apply to you. The first one is, remember this. Purpose is always more about who than what. Like, your life should always be more about who than what. Who gives a crap if you have a mansion and a vacation home in Colorado and a yacht in Florida, and nobody gets to do life with you, and nobody knows about this hope that you have? Like, who cares? It's never about what, but it's always about who, right? Just wanted to make sure we're all on the same page. And so here are some things to think about that might get you thinking in the right direction about what your life is, or what a winning life is for you. What are some gifts? What are some talents? What are some skills that you have, like, that are very specific to you? Like, some of you guys are artistic, some of you are musical, some of you, organization is probably one of the most underappreciated gifts in the world. I say that because I don't have it, right? I got to write stuff down. If I don't write it down, it's gone. Like, I meant to call you back 6 days ago. I just forgot to write it down. So, anyway, I heard this, have you guys ever heard of ADSD? Right? Attention deficit squirrel disorder. I may or may not struggle with that. And so, like, what are some skills? What are some talents? What are some abilities that you have that are very specific to you? And how can you use those to further God's kingdom? I heard this idea this week, and I think it's so true. Like, it's pretty likely that you have a physiological disposition to do what it is that God has called you to do. I'll explain that. Like, the gifts that you have usually kind of point you in the direction that you should go with your life. The things that you enjoy, the things that you're passionate about, usually kind of point you in the direction that you should go with your life. Like, God's not going to ask you to do something that you absolutely hate. Like, he's not a masochist. He doesn't enjoy your pain. I don't know, I went blank there for a minute. I was like, ain't. I'm going to leave that alone. So anyway, like, so I think that the things that God has gifted us with and the passions that we have, like, this is really interesting. There's this Old Testament verse that you hear probably a lot, or you have heard a lot. It says that the Lord gives you to the desires of your heart. And most people kind of make that seem so that it's like, man, whatever it is that I want, like, God gives me, like my slot machine God, right? It irritates the crap out of me. I don't know why. But I don't necessarily think maybe that's an aspect of it. But I think it's more the desires that you have in your heart, God has given them to you. And so the desires of my heart, God has given them to me. If I have a desire for this group of people, or to see this accomplished for his kingdom, or to do this or that, like, God has given you that desire. So you have a physiological disposition to whatever it is that you're called to do. Does that make sense? And so you think about your gifts and your talents and your abilities and the things that you have passion for. How can you further God's kingdom with those things? And thinking about that will help you get on a winning track. This is another one. Is there a particular group of people that you feel drawn to or compelled to serve in some way? Like, for some reason, some of you feel compelled to serve children. God bless your soul, right? Like, man, like, I love my kids most of the time. I can't love other people's kids, right? I'm just kidding. I'm absolutely kidding. But some, I'm like, you know, people that are teachers and you know, people that serve children in other ways, I'm just like, you are awesome. So whatever group of people it is that you feel compelled to serve, maybe that has a lot to do with what a winning life is for you. It doesn't just have to be kids. Maybe it's teenagers. Like, how many of you know God knows teenagers need direction? Because we were teenagers once, right? At one time, you were a teenager, and you knew everything there was to know, and everybody else was stupid. At least that's the way it was when I was a teenager. So maybe you feel like serving teenagers with your life is what makes you live a winning life. By all means, do it. Maybe it's orphans in foreign countries. We've gone to Haiti several times, and man, nothing. There's not much in life that's as rewarding and fulfilling as that. And you don't even do anything. Like, you just go and you hug on little kids, and they have snot and crap all over them, and it's awesome. And you just don't think about the bacteria and all of that stuff. You just can't. The funny thing is, we went with a group one time, and so like we go to these villages and hang out with all these kids, and they are seriously, they're so fun, and they're it's so much, it's so enjoyable, the whole experience. And so for, you know, an hour or 2 hours or however long we're there, we're just like, yeah, and we've got, you know, their you know, snot. I mean, and it's not just like snot, like it's like green, like, you know. I mean, I just, when you go, you know. And so, like, we didn't even care for, like, 2 hours. We're just doing whatever we do. And then we get back in the van or the bus that we're in. We're, like, antibacterial. It's like bath and antibacterial. I don't know why that's relevant. But anyway, it's good. And so maybe it's orphans in foreign countries. Or maybe it's serving the underprivileged in our community. Like, there are a lot of people in our community that need to be served. There are single mothers. Like, I don't know about you, but I grew up with a mostly single mom. Like, there were other deadbeat dudes that came around from time to time, but mostly it was a single mom, and there was a lot of struggle in that. So maybe that's an area or a group of people, a demographic that you could serve. And doing that, that is a winning life for you. And so I think probably the best way just to understand this is serving the people that break your heart is probably your ministry. It's probably the thing that you're called to. I heard this quote one time. It says, your misery is your ministry. Like, so whoever it is that just, man, you just can't get them off of your heart, you can't get it out of your mind, like, that's who it is that you're likely called to serve. I know for me, just kind of specifically with Motion and the church and all of that stuff, and it's really cool because we're coming up on our three-year anniversary. Like, Motion's only almost 3 years old, but it's actually about 6 years old, because for 3 years before we started it, man, like, it was just a desire of my heart. It was a passion that I had to start a church that wasn't like a lot of, there's a lot of great churches in town. I'm friends with several pastors of other churches in town, but nobody really is doing quite what we're doing. We're just trying to be us. Like, we can't be other people. We got to do what we got to do, right?
Right.
And so that's a desire that I had, and I feel like God gave me that desire, and to do what it is that he called me to do for me is a winning life. And so the same thing is true for you. I want to wrap this up with a quote that I heard one time. It's funny because it's like, it's kind of an old school redneck country quote, but it's so good. And this is what it says. Be who you is, because if you is who you ain't who you is. Y'all want to try that one more time? Be who you is. Be who you is. Because if you is who you ain't who you is. Can we get a drum roll or something? A little love. Be who you is. Like, you, this is our kind of spin on that. You are the only you. And only you can do what you can do. Like, you're the only one that can do what you can do. So you better do what God has called you to do. I think about this idea of legacy and leaving our mark. When it's all said and done, nobody's going to care about how much money you made. Shelley showed me this quote, one of the classic Pinterest quotes, right? Like, our evenings are after we put the kids to bed, and like we're done with our days are just crazy and hectic, and we're like decompressing on the couch. Shelley looks at Pinterest. I watch ESPN. It's fantastic. And so when she finds stuff that's really good, she's like, hey, listen to this. And I'm like, you know, like, attention divided. I'm trying really hard, but, you know, it's hard. There was this quote one time that says that people will never remember what you gave them or something to that effect, but they will always remember how you made them feel. And, man, I think legacy, that's it. Like, just caring about people, and it doesn't matter how much money you have and what job you did and all of that stuff. It's always, purpose is always about who, not what, and serving other people. And so there's this verse that we're going to wrap up with. I promise. That was like a double wrap up, so we're going good. Be who you is, because if you is who you ain't who you is. James chapter 4, verse 7. That's not James chapter 4, verse 7. This is James chapter 4, verse 7. It says this. That's the New Country Version of the Bible, the NCV. James 4, 7 says this. Remember, it is sin to know what you ought to do and then not do it. Like, I think if we take that just at surface value, you know what it is that you're called to do. You know the gifts that you have. You know the talents that you have. And according to this, maybe it's out of context, maybe not. Look it up for yourself. Like, it's sin for you not to do what it is that God has created you and gifted you to do. And so this morning, I just want to pray for us, man, that we think about how we can live a winning life. Or maybe there's areas that you could just get more on track with this. So let me just pray for us, and then we'll dismiss. Father, we absolutely love you and everything that you've done for us. God, we are so appreciative for the life that you came to give us. God, we're thankful that you love us enough to give us a good life, a full life, a real life, more and better than we ever dreamed of, Jesus. We're thankful for that. But God, we also realize that with that come certain responsibilities. God, that there are things that we're supposed to do with our lives, God, that help us become the full version of who it is that you want us to be. God, I pray that you help every one of us, God, in whatever way it is that we need to change or whatever it is that we need to do to live a winning life. God, I pray that you would help us to do it. God, help us first and foremost stop comparing ourselves to other people, because we're not them. We're us. We're who you created us to be with the gifts that you've given us and the talents that you've given us and the passions that you've given us. God, help us to own in on that and focus on who it is that we're supposed to be so that we can then see who it is that we're supposed to serve, God, who it is that makes us, it breaks our heart and makes us miserable so that we recognize our ministry. God, help us to serve people. Remember that purpose is never about what, but about who, and help us to live a winning life. God, we ask all these things in Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen.